How Labour Changed. The Labour Representation Committee formed in 1900 as a trade union pressure group in Parliament. Then it became the Labour Party in 1906, and in 1918 adopted the long-term aim of creating a nationalised economy. This was supposed to go alongside a redistribution of wealth to create a less unequal society, the whole thing to be achieved gradually by measures taken through the lifetime of successive Labour governments. This grand strategy was called Labourism, and it failed big time. Instead of Labour gradually changing capitalism, it was capitalism that gradually changed Labour. They learnt from the experience of being in government that the only way capitalism can run is as an economic system driven by profit-making, and that this has to be given priority. So Labour gradually evolved from an alleged Labour Party into an avowed capitalist party. And here is how it happened. Number 1, 1906. 29 trade unionist MPs get elected with Liberal support and constitute themselves as the Parliamentary Labour Party. Number 2, 1918. The party adopts a new constitution, clause 4 of which reads, "To secure for the workers by hand or by brain the full fruits of their industry and the most equitable distribution thereof that may be possible upon the basis of the common ownership of the means of production and the best obtainable system of popular administration and control of each industry or service." Number 3, 1929. An amendment adds distribution and exchange to this clause 4. The word exchange making it very clear that nationalisation, in other words state capitalism and not socialism, was what was envisaged. Number 4, 1935. Here's Clement Attlee in The Will and the Way to Socialism, page 42. "A Labour government, therefore, not only by the transference of industry from profit-making for the few to the service of the many, but also by taxation, will work to reduce the purchasing power of the wealthier classes, while by wage increases and by the provision of social services, it will expand the purchasing power of the masses." Number 5, 1945. The General Election Manifesto reads, "The Labour Party is a socialist party and proud of it. Its ultimate purpose at home is the establishment of the socialist Commonwealth of Great Britain." Number 6, 1956. Labour intellectual Anthony Crossland publishes The Future of Socialism, in which he argues that the aim of a more equal distribution of wealth does not require the nationalisation of industry. Number 7, 1959. Labour leader Hugh Gaitskill proposes to abandon Clause 4, but this is turned down by the Labour Party conference. Number 8, 1974. The February General Election Manifesto reads, "It is indeed our intention to bring about a fundamental and irreversible shift in the balance of wealth and power in favour of working people and their families." Number 9, 1995, and a new Clause 4 is adopted, which says, "A dynamic economy serving the public interest, in which the enterprise of the market and the rigour of competition are joined with the forces of partnership and cooperation, to produce the wealth the nation needs and the opportunity for all to work and prosper with a thriving private sector and high-quality public services where those undertakings essential to the common good are either owned by the public or accountable to them. Number 10, 2024. Keir Starmer says, Labour is the party of business. And Rachel Reeves says, Be in no doubt, we will campaign as a pro-business party and we will govern as a pro-business party. And there you have it. Remember the original aim of creating a less unequal society? Nope. Neither does the Labour Party.
You've been listening to World Socialist Radio, produced by the Socialist Party of Great Britain. To find out more and to take out a free trial subscription to the Socialist Standard, visit spgb.net/podcast.